Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the place of Morah. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram, and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. I believe in those first couple of verses there we have the summary of what God has to say to Abraham and to every one of his children. You know, the goal that God has for us, and not only that, but the power that carries us to that goal and the place where that power is found to be a blessing. He said, I will bless you and you will be a blessing. That's what God called Abraham to, and that's what his desire is for us. That's what his desire is for every one of his children, for every child of his. You know, the blessings that God give his children are not for them to hoard, but it's his desire that we would further communicate, that we would those blessings to others, his blessings. You know, God himself is a source of love. God is love, and therefore he blesses. You know, love doesn't seek itself. We see in those familiar verses in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. It's something positive. It's something that's out there to help others. You know, when Christ's love fills us, it will seek others through us. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not something that's unreasonable, but it's our reasonable service. And when we think of what Christ has done for us, you know, shouldn't we be a living sacrifice, a blessing to others, reasonable service? It only makes sense. You know, the Christian has received so great a blessing that it should be our greatest desire to find that blessing and to be a blessing to others. Ephesians 1:3, one of my favorite verses. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He promised Abraham, he said, I will bless thee. You know, there were no maybes there, but there were conditions that went along with this promise. And these same conditions hold true for every child of God. You know, if you want God's blessing and desire to be a blessing, you know, we're going to have to follow these conditions also. And we'll look at that more a little later. You know, when Jesus touched someone and healed them, forgave their sins, you know, they couldn't be silent. You know, some of them he told to not tell others, but they did. They told others about Jesus. They wanted others to be blessed. They were so excited about what was done for them. They want others to find the same blessing that they had found. You know, if we're filled with the Spirit, the peace and the power of the Lord that the Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians there, the verse I just quoted, we'll have the power to bless. We don't need to fear or doubt. You know, the blessings that God gives have the power to multiply. Ephesians 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do, and this is I love this descriptiveness here, and the is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, we can't do it of ourselves. There's nothing we can do of ourselves. We have no power in ourselves. You know, the old covenant made that clear. It was impossible to live by the law, but in the new covenant we have Christ. We can have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, verse 27. And what did God ask of Abraham? You know, he said, get thee out of thy country and thy father's house. God asked him to leave, God asked him to leave what was dear to him. You know, God also asked us to depart or to separate from the life of nature and the flesh, the old self or the Adam that we were born with. You know, offering up what is the most precious to man is the way to the blessing of God. He said, go to a land that I will show thee, out of the old life and into the new, where he alone is your guide, a life where God can have me, where he can have you completely to himself alone, where we walk only on the promises of God, a life of faith, a trust. You know, to be blessed and to be a blessing, we must leave our homeland, the life of the world, the ways of the flesh, and enter into a new life, the life of the Spirit, the life of fellowship with God, the life that he desires to fill us with. Christ is the great and the only true fountain of blessing. It's only as we have him in our hearts that we can truly be a blessing to others. And to actually be in that position, we must allow him to bless us. You know, what a blessing it is to be around those that are truly on fire for Christ, vibrant, faces radiating his love. You know, when his Spirit has permeated our hearts, and you know, when it permeates our hearts, when there's something in our heart, it's all through our body. Something can't be in there and be separated from the rest of our body. You know, our bodies, if there's something negative in there, it's going to affect our whole body. You know, we won't feel good. But if his love, if his Spirit is in our hearts, it's going to affect the way we live. His love will radiate. You know, those things that, those vices that tear down, malice and gossip, and these things that tear down, they're going to cease to be. Instead, we will be a blessing. Full surrender. I appreciate those thoughts this morning of giving ourselves to prayer, submersing ourselves in the Word of God, is a must if we want Christ to have full possession of our heart and life. You know, did Abraham ever regret that he went out in faith, allowing God to have full control of his life? You know, there were times in Abraham's life, that last verse, we read that verse 10 just because of that. There were times in his life that he made decisions. He took things into his own hands, and it had a negative effect. You know, he went down to Egypt, and we don't read that he asked God if he should go down to Egypt. But he went down there anyway, and things didn't turn out well. He was deceptive to try to protect himself, and it brought reproach. It caused lots of grief and hardship. But when he followed God's leading completely, fully surrendered, you know, he was never disappointed. We have the words there in Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, those promises were fulfilled in Abraham's life because of his obedience. He separated himself from his father's house, and because of his walk and fellowship with God. You know, he wasn't ashamed to build an altar. You know, he went and built an altar. He pitched his tent. You know, how often are we ashamed or fearful to state where we stand? You know, it's easier to go along with the crowd. Instead of portraying Christ, we walk by on the other side, or we remain silent when we should speak out for Christ. Or maybe we should join in even when we should reprimand. You know, where do we find ourselves? Blessing or the opposite of that? 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. And that gives me the picture of going forwards, doing something, not just steadfast, dragging our feet, but we're positively going forwards, building, blessing. And in closing, I'd like to read a couple of verses out of Isaiah 58, verse 10 and 11. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Let's kneel for prayer.